Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to my new radio show. You're listening to The Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, July 21st on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I will do every 2 weeks on Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority. And since this is my first show, I'd like to start by examining the role of the change agent, talk about who are the other players in change, why the relationships of change can be so tricky, and what to do about it. So let's start with some startling figures. The McKinsey Quarterly came out recently with an article that said that only 30% of change initiatives meet expectations. That means they're on time, on budget, and achieved what they set out to do. That is, they implemented the change that wanted to happen. And I recently attended a presentation by Daryl Connor, who's the author of Managing at the Speed of Change. And he said, in fact, when there is a change agent involved, that is a third party besides the boss and the people who are going through the change, that that number actually drops to 20%. So one out of five change initiatives are meeting expectations when there's a change agent involved. That's just shocking to me. And if I look back honestly, though, on my own career, I can say that that's probably true. So I'd like to start out just talking about change agents, and specifically I want to focus in on that word agent. If you look in the dictionary, an agent is a person who's authorized to act on another's behalf. And another definition says that an agent is one empowered to act for or represent another. And if we think of agents in the rest of our lives, we've got people like real estate agents. Real estate agents, they represent either the buyer or a seller in the transaction of real estate, representing each other to each other, really. We have insurance agents. And thinking about that one, they really represent the insurance company to buyers. Although, if you think about it, you say, well, I need to call my insurance agent because I just got involved in an accident. So I'm not really sure who's representing who there. But you've got literary agents. So if someone writes a book, the literary agent is acting on behalf of the author to publishers so they can get their book published. We have Hollywood agents. We see them on TV, representing the talent to everyone else, to the directors, to the casting agents or whoever. So Hollywood agents representing talent. And then, of course, we can't forget the secret agent, who are acting on behalf of clandestine organizations or the government or something else. I don't want to forget them. But reasons to hire an agent. Why would you hire an agent? One is that they have expertise with the process. I could definitely sell a house by myself, but I don't have expertise in the real estate market. And I could hire someone who does, and they would be much better at it and know all the questions to ask and steer me on the right path. We hire agents because of the connections that they have, the relationships they have. For example, the literary agent or the Hollywood agent. We hire them because they know everybody, and they know who knows who, and they have the relationships that they can instantly sell us to other people so that we don't have to build those relationships. We hire agents because of the efficiency, because we may not know as much about the process, the transaction that we're trying to transact, and so we hire an agent in order to be more efficient. Again, I could sell my house, but I would have to make all the appointments and send out the advertisements and everything. And so I hire an agent to be more efficient so that I don't have to spend time doing all those things. And so an agent really helps us to facilitate and complete a transaction. Now, a change agent transaction. Well, who are change agents? Where do we find them in organizations, and what transactions do they perform? And I can see that I've got a couple of callers here, but I'm not sure if they have questions, so I'll just leave them out there. But I will say now, if you have a job that you perform that you are a change agent, or if you have in your past, I would love to hear about it. You can go ahead and dial the dial-in number. Is 346-857-3576. And share it with us, or you can even put that in the chat box also. So I'll go through my own experience just to share different change agent positions with organizations. Just out of college, it was the end of the 90s, Y2K was looming, and I took a job implementing an MRP project, an MRP manufacturing resource planning project. It's an IT system that basically tracks inventory and a lot of other things for manufacturing companies. And I took the job not really knowing it was a change position, but knowing that as an industrial engineering, with an industrial engineering degree, I knew about inventory and all those things. And so I took that job and reported to planning and scheduling. The transaction I was making was implementing the system. But basically, I had to learn the system, become the expert, and also train people and help them to do their job, the same job that they had, but with a new system, and also make improvements with that. So you can find change agents in IT and also in planning and scheduling in organizations. You can find them anywhere, as you're about to see. I moved from there. I went to an industrial engineering job. That was my background. I thought, well, I might as well try it. And I was primarily designing and implementing systems within a manufacturing company. So improving processes, making them more efficient. And let me tell you, if you are an industrial engineer and you don't think your job is a change agent, first of all, you know that because, or you think that because they don't teach you that. They teach you the engineering stuff. They don't teach you the people side. They just ignore the people side altogether in school for engineering. It's really a shame. And you have to learn it the hard way, as I did. And that's really when I started becoming interested in change and learning more about it. And so, again, change agent transactions, you can find them in engineering, process improvement, Lean Six Sigma. All those jobs are change agents. So moving on, I worked my way into more of an organizational effectiveness position. Typically, those are found in human resources. I was actually still working for the same boss in logistics and procurement, if you can believe that. But organization development, organizational effectiveness jobs are focusing on the culture and improving teams and implementing strategy and building leadership capabilities in organizations. So those are change agents. I spent 2 years setting up an executive working group for people who are in their organizations implementing strategy with balanced scorecard. And they really were in either strategic planning or they were in sometimes communication. Their jobs were sort of all over the place. They could have been in performance management. Again, change agents are found anywhere. And so who are the other people in this in change, because it's not just the change agent. If you're an agent, you're obviously representing someone else. So we've got the leaders in the organization. The initiators of the change are the people who have the authority to get it done. These are the leaders, managers, the sponsors of the project. So that's another party in the change transaction. And then you have the people who are going through the change. They're the rest of the people in the organization or in a department. They're the employees. And people who are whose behavior, their attitudes, their jobs might need to change as a result of what's going on. So you end up with this triangle structure where you have the leaders on the top, the people who have the authority to get the change done. You've got the people who are going through the change on another point of the triangle, and then you have the change agents. And so the question then is, going back to the agent idea, who is it that the change agent is representing? And if you have an answer for this question, I would love for you to chime in or go through the chat. The number is 347-857-3576. I actually have trouble with answering this question personally because Of course, you're an agent of the leader. But I think you're also an agent of the people going through the change. And I know this firsthand. I've got some of my experience when I was the director of organizational effectiveness at a manufacturing company. One of the main things that I was doing was implementing an innovation initiative, basically trying to help people to engage in and create ideas and be more proactive with the company. And so, of course, I was representing the leadership because they wanted to collect the ideas and make the company better. But I was also representing the people who were going through the change, because I wanted them to have a more fulfilling job and want to come to work every day because they were listened to. So who the change agent represents, because this is so tricky, okay, who the change agent represents and how the relationships are managed or even mismanaged, I think is at the heart of this 30%, 20% statistic. The problem is that change agents can't own the problem. The leaders, often, they want to delegate it. They may want it to get done, but they don't want to deal with all the stuff that has to happen in order to get there. And the change agents, they want to accept ownership because it's easier to manage something when you're in control of it. If the change agent owns the change, a lot of times the people who are going through the change can resent it, because sometimes, if you're trying to tell someone to do something and then you're not their boss, they're going to resent it. They might get confused because maybe there's two different people telling them two different things that they're supposed to be doing for their job. And a lot of times they'll just think it's flavor of the month, that if it's your process, your change, and not their boss's, then they're just going to start ignoring it. Now, it's really tough because as a change agent, a lot of times it's your idea. It's your project. I know when I was doing the innovation initiative, yes, the CEO had come to me and said, I'd like to find out a way to get more ideas from people. But at the same time, like, the actual project itself, I felt like was mine, because I was driving it, I was creating the steering committee and doing all the things involved in driving the idea. But it couldn't be seen as mine solely. It had to be seen as the CEO's. Otherwise, it wasn't going to work. And so it's really tricky to maintain the proper balance within this triangle. So managing change relationships. The leader, there's three relationships really key here, and you can see those as sort of the sides of the triangle. One is between the leader and the people going through the change. One of the relationships is between the change agent and the people going through the change. And then you have the relationship between the change agent and the leader. And so managing the relationship between the leader and the people going through the change, it's an important relationship, and it has to be, the leader has to answer the question, why are we going through this? Why are we doing this project? The leader in the triangle here needs to motivate the people who are going through the change. They need to hold them accountable and make sure that they are doing the things that need to be done in order for change to happen. The leader needs to be seen as the one who's in control. They need to be driving the process. They really need to be enthusiastic about it. And also, you know, it should be probably their meeting that people are going to, not your meeting, for example. Even if it's easier for you to schedule it, it needs to be seen as their meeting. You can facilitate it, but they should probably be leading the meeting. The relationship between the change agents and the people going through the change should answer the question, how will we do this? How are we going to do this? The change agent should be the expert on the new way of doing things. And they're also the expert on change, the change process itself. The change agent is going to be the one coming up probably with the training and procedures and helping people to move through the change. And they're also listening to concerns, the concerns of the people going through the change. And there's going to be a lot of them, right? The change agent and the leader is probably the most important relationship, I think, in this triangle. And really because it's the trickiest. And the primary role of the change agent to the leader is feedback. Yes, the change agent is helping to, say, draft a letter or a memo or a newsletter and all that, and coming up with the change process itself. But the change agent, their main role with the leader is feedback. So the change agent, they're representing concerns of the people going through the change back to the leader. They're sharing what resistance they're meeting, not as a tattletale way, but sharing, just giving feedback, saying, this is what I'm up against, and working together to figure out how to get past that or how to work it. And the change agent needs to be providing information, and that can be in the form of employee surveys. It could be in the form of metrics, measurements of how well the change is performing over time. It could be in the form of reports anything that that's coming from the people back to the leader. And I think most importantly and also most difficult is the change agent needs to provide the leader with personal feedback. And I know that this is the most difficult thing, because really it's one of the most frequent things that I talk about with coaching clients up front. The first thing that they want to take care of is how do I get a leader to do what he or she needs to do? And so I think the tip is with the change agent to leader relationship, you really need to set the expectations up front within that relationship of what that looks like and what needs to happen. That way you don't get in a situation where that person's the boss, and I really shouldn't say anything because they're the leader, and it's an awkward conversation. So it's better to set those expectations up front that you're going to have awkward conversations and that they want you to give that information to them. So I've actually gone through most of my stuff here. So if you have any questions, go ahead and chime in. The number, if I can find it, is 347-857-3576. If you have any questions or comments or like to share your experience, please go ahead and call in. Actually, I think I see a hand raised. What do I do here? Hello, I think you're on the air.
Hello, Heather. This is Lisa Hartalupas with ExecuCoach.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Atlanta.
Great.
And I want to thank you for the excellent questions that you posed to us. They really give us something to think about. And one of them that you asked is who the change agent represents.
Yes.
And that is a conversation that we have often in the OD circles, organization development circles, and we phrase it in terms of who is the real client or who do we report to, who has the ultimate responsibility that we seek to serve. And one of the things that's important to remember from my perspective is that the leader is the ultimate client typically, and then it's about managing everyone else's expectations. And sometimes our own values, you know, speak louder than what the leader is asking us to do, so then we need to take a closer look at whether we continue working with the client or not. But ultimately, it's the leader that has engaged us to come in and make the change.
What do you mean by the values are different from what the leader wants you to do?
Well, that's a good question. For example, if it was to be about enforcing something that wasn't good for the people, then we may push back and say, if you're asking me, for example, to terminate someone, that's not my responsibility as a change agent.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that HR needs to handle or that you need to handle. I'm here to facilitate the process of communication and understanding, and then any actions that are taken need to come from you or people inside the organization. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments, or would you like to share your experience? The number is 347-857-3576. And if not, I don't see any in the chat either. Well, I'll go ahead and finish up here, unless I see someone else's hand go up. Again, I said that the most common thing that I hear in coaching conversations is, how do I get a leader to do what he or she needs to do in order to make the change effective? And I've some examples. One, I had a conversation with a CFO who arguably needed to have a more disciplined environment in the company that he was in, because the processes that they had, especially around finances, were not particularly well-structured. And so but the CEO insisted on having a culture that was fun and carefree. And so the conversation was around, how do you get the CEO to act more or see that a discipline is required in order to have better financial processes, for example. I also talked with a nurse in a healthcare facility or healthcare department, I think it was a government organization, who had been pulled into a team that had conducted an employee survey, and the leader of the group, who I think was two levels above her, was causing some havoc in how to implement. Even though he had the results of the employee survey, he still didn't see that he himself needed to change. And so it's things like that that get tricky. How do you give feedback to people in those situations? And so I'll tee up the next episode coming up on August 4th, Tuesday, August 4th at 11 a.m. Eastern. We're going to talk about how to get beyond leadership buy-in, because buy-in is definitely something that's the bare minimum of support that you'd like. And so we're going to talk about the different levels of support that are available and what is keeping leaders from doing what you need them to do. In the meantime, if you would like to see how we might work together to influence change in your organization, please visit www.inclaria.com. Thank you so much for listening to this first episode of The Change Agent's Dilemma, How to Influence Change Without Authority. Take care and best wishes for your change initiative. Goodbye now.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey.
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy.
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky.
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy.
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer odor control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey.
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy.
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky.
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy.
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer odor control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty. Yeah.